Okay, good morning, everyone. We are on page 866, Parshas Balak. Of course, which talks about the famous story. 856. 856. 8, 11, 13, 6. We could add it in a whole different ways. 19, whatever you want. Okay, so we are the famous story of Balak, who is the king of who's the king who hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Of course, the very first pasuk in the parsha tells us, "Vayar Balak ben Zippor es kol asher asa Yisrael le'amori." Balak sees everything that Bnei Israel did. He realizes that they were unable to destroy them physically, and so he goes to Plan B. And the entire parsha essentially is an opportunity for him to try and curse the Jewish people. Now, I've always pointed out, I think last week even, but I'll point it out again, because I think it's such an important point. Then we talk about this Parsha, it's important to realize that you have to read the Parsha as a split screen. Screen number one is the Jewish people. And you picture the Jewish people going through their day, hunky-dory. Everything is nice, everything is smooth, they're doing the dishes, they're washing the laundry, I don't know, what did people do in their time in the desert? In screen number two is Balak and Bilam sitting on top of a mountain plotting to destroy the Jewish people and are on the way to be successful to destroy the Jewish people through cursing them had God not intervened. And what I always find striking about the story is that you could very easily be in screen A in the camp of the Jewish people and not know that there was a screen B taking place at any point. And I always say, I said in the Tehillim class last week, that is somewhat of a metaphor for our lives. That we oftentimes view life through a very narrow prism of our realm of understanding, what we're able to see. We see that I got to work today successfully. Okay, I could thank Hashem for that. But we don't oftentimes see is all the things that Hashem does behind the scenes to protect us in ways that we don't even realize. Here are the Jewish people, if you would ask them at that moment in time, did Hashem save you today? They would say, what are you talking about? I did my laundry, I had my coffee, I had a bagel, I went out to lunch with my friends, I played mahjong. What are you talking about, Hashem saved me today? The answer is that Hashem was manipulating events behind the scenes, and we had no clue. And so it's important for us to realize that when we thank Hashem daily, we're not just thanking Him for the things that we see, but we're thanking Hashem for everything else as well. As I said in the past, and again I quoted at the Tehillim class last week, that is Rabbi Friend. I once heard an interpretation of Melech, Ozer, Umoshia, Umagain. We say in our Shmoneh Esrei, Melech, King, Ozer, Umoshia, Umagain. So Ozer means to help, Moshia means to save, and Magain means to protect, to shield. So Ozer and Magain sound very similar. So Rabbi Friend said they're not similar at all. Melech, Ozer, help, are things that are in front of us. Okay, I need help with a certain issue, I dive into Hashem, Hashem helps me. Magain, a shield, oftentimes you don't see the shield protecting you. We're oftentimes not aware of all the moments where Hashem is protecting us, and He's doing so behind the scenes. So it's important that we recognize that. It's important that we thank Hashem for manipulating events on our behalf, not just for the ones that we recognize, but even for the, so to speak, split screens of our lives, where we're unaware of the moments that Hashem is helping us on a daily basis. Okay, we start off on Pasuk Hey, the fifth Pasuk of the Parsha. So, Vayishlach Malachim El Bil'am Ben Be'or Petora Asher Al Nahar Eretz B'nei Amo Likro Lo. So, Balak sends messengers to Bilam. And what does he say? Hine Am Yatza Mitzrayma Hine Kisas Eina Aretz V'hu Yoshem Mimili. Right, there's this people, we're going to talk about it a little bit more on Shabbos in the rabbi's class, what exactly his argument against the Jewish people is, and why is he so bothered by Bnei Israel that he wants to destroy them. And then he says, Pasuk 6, Ve'ata lecha na'ara li yas'am azeh, ki atzum hu mimeni, let's go, let's curse them, ulai uchal na'kebo v'agarshenu min ha'aretz, ki adati yis asher tevarech, mivorach v'asher ta'or yuar. I know, right, it's called flattery. I know, Bilam, that whatever you say comes true. Those who you bless are blessed. Those who you curse are cursed. So I want to employ your services to curse the Jewish people. Vayelchu ziknei Moab, viziknei Midian, uksamim biadam. So they come, vayavo el Bilam. So now here's the meeting. We have the messengers from Balak coming to meet Bilam. Now we know very little about Bilam at this moment in time. We know that Bilam is a prophet. That's why his services are being employed. Okay, but we don't know good, bad, ugly. We've never really been introduced to Bilam at all. Vayidabru elav, and they say to him, Divrei Balak, exactly what Balak says. Vayomer alehem, so Bilam responds to them, and he says, Linu pol halayla vashivosi eschem davar kasher yidaber Adonai elai. He says, you know what? I can't answer you yet. First, let me confer with Hashem, and whatever he tells me to do, that's what we'll do. And that's exactly what happens. Vayeshvu sare Moav im Bilam. Vayavo Elohim el Bilam, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Hashem comes to Bilam, and he says, who are these people who are with you? Again, Hashem oftentimes will engage people in conversations that way. We know all the way back in the story of Cain and Hevel, Hashem does that. Right? Oftentimes Hashem will say, oh, but what's going on here? And that's kind of a way, that's not a good introduction oftentimes. Okay, so he says, who are these people? And he says, these are the angels, these are the messengers of Balak, who sent to me. Pasuk Yid Aleph, Hinea Ama Yotzei Mitzrayim, he's telling the whole thing. Pasuk Yid Bet, Vayomer Elohim El Bilam, so here's God's response to Bilam. Lo Teilechi Mahem, I don't want you to go to them, with them. Lo Taor Esam, nor do I want you to curse my people. Why? Ki Varuchu, because these are a blessed people. In other words, don't you know everything that I've done on behalf of these people over the last 40 years? These are my guys. Don't think you're going to be able to curse them so quickly. Vayakam Bilam. So Bilam wakes up in the next morning. Baboker. Vayomer el sarei Bilak. Lichu el artzacham. He says, you've come for nothing. Right? No deal. I can't help you here. Go back to your land. Kimeinan nai lititi la lochim echem. God has refused me permission to go with you. So they go back, they go to Balak. Balak says, wait a second, you've come back empty-handed. I sent you to get Bilam. You come back without Bilam, you failed in your mission. So what does he do? He sends them back in Pasuk 15, and he says, I'm not just going to send you, but I'm going to send even more important people. Okay, if like previously I sent you the chief of staff, now I'm sending you the vice president, although the chief of staff is probably more important than the vice president. But whatever it is, right? He's upgrading his messengers now, right? V'nichpadim me'elu. He sends people that are even more important than the first ones. And they come back to Bilam. Vayomru lo, Pasuk 16, al na timena me'alo chelai. Balak says, like, don't reject me again. Ki chaved achabdecha, achabedcha me'od. V'chol asher tomar elai eseh. I'm going to give you an enormous amount of honor. And whatever rules you tell me I have to play by, I'll play by those rules. Ulechana kavali esamaze, help me out. I gotta curse these people. Vayan Bilam, Vayomer alav de Balak. He says, wait a second. Even if you give me all the gold, the money, silver in the world, I'm not moving a drop. Whatever Hashem tells me, I do. Laso kitana ugdala, small, big, doesn't matter. Whatever God tells me, I'm doing. Ve'ata shvu na bazeh gamatem alayla, sleep overnight again. Ve'eda'a, mayosef adonai daberimi. And let's see what God has to say to me. So question number one is, why does Bilam have them stay overnight again? Right? Does Bilam think that Hashem's going to change his mind? Okay, Hashem seemed pretty forceful the first time. You're not allowed to go with them. You're not allowed to curse them. Ki baruchu, because these people are blessed. All of a sudden now, Balak sends the messengers back to Bilam. Bilam says to the messengers, I'm not deviating a word from what Hashem said. Now, we already know what Hashem said because he already said it. And yet, Bilam says back, stay overnight again. Whatever God says, I'll do. Okay, so question number one is, did Bilam really think that Hashem was going to change his mind? Question number two is in Pasuk Chaf. Vayavo Elohim el Bilam Laila. So Hashem once again appears to Bilam. Vayomer lo, and Hashem says to him, "Im likro lecha ba'u anashim, if these people likro lecha, right? If they called upon you, kum leich itam. You know what? maybe it's a good idea. Maybe you should go with them. V'ach es ha'davar asher deber elecha oto saseh. And whatever I tell you to do, you're going to do. So if question number one was, did Bilaam really think that Hashem would change his mind? Question number two becomes, why did God change his mind? Right? Hashem first said, don't go. Nothing really has changed between the first time and the second time. And all of a sudden Hashem now is saying, you know what? Maybe it's not such a bad idea. You should go. So question number two, why does Hashem change his mind? And if Hashem changed his mind the second time, why didn't he simply allow him to go the first time? Hey, I appreciate this because children have an ability to wear you down, right? Sometimes the second question gets a different answer than the first one simply because you are more tired than the first one. And kids know this. So they keep asking and asking and asking until you give them what they want. But I would imagine Hashem is a little bit different. Hashem has slightly more patience than I do. So what is going on here? Okay, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayakam Bilaam baboker vayachavosh es atono vayilechim sarei Moav. So Bilaam gets up, right? The vayachavosh et atono is going to be important because we have that one other place in Tanakh, which is by Avram. Avram also gets up early in the morning. He also saddles his own donkey. Again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And he goes with the princes of Moab. Pasuk 22. Vayichar af Elohim. Hashem becomes infuriated. Ki olechu, because Bilaam had the audacity to go. Wait a second. Why is Hashem upset that Bilaam went? Didn't Hashem, just two psukim later, tell Bilaam that he could go? Okay. Vayitzev malach Adonai baderech lesatan lo. Okay, and now Hashem, the very famous story in the Parsha, Hashem places an angel right in the way. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the angel-donkey interaction, but needless to say, we know the story. The donkey sees the angel. Bilaam is oblivious to the angel. Bilaam gets frustrated that the donkey won't go. He starts hitting the donkey. The donkey starts speaking. He says, why are you hitting me? He says, why are you speaking? All of a sudden, in Pasuk 28, Vayivtach Adonai es pi aton, he says, what are you hitting me for? And then in Pasuk Lamed Aleph 31, Vayegal Adonai es enei Bilaam, Hashem opens up Bilaam's eyes, Vayar et malach Adonai nitzah baderech, he sees the angel of Hashem standing in the way, and he bows down, okay? And he says, the angel says, why are you hitting your donkey? The whole conversation. Go to Pasuk 34. Vayomer Bilaam el Malach Adonai. So again, the whole conversation, which we're not spending time on today. But at the end of the conversation, Bilaam has been embarrassed. Because you read that part that we basically skimmed over because we're all familiar with it. And kind of the question that lingers in your mind is, who's the real donkey here? No, I'm being serious. Right? Who's the real donkey here? You have a donkey that sees the angel of Hashem, that talks. You have Bilaam that's unable to see the donkey, that's hitting it, that looks like a fool. And you really, the question is, like, who's the real donkey here? Okay? And that the point of the story is to utterly humiliate Bilaam. Bilaam here is this prophet who's supposed to be wise, who's supposed to have this seeing capability, and all of a sudden, he's unable to see what the donkey's able to see. Okay, so that's the ultimate humiliation for Bilaam. Okay, so he all of a sudden, he has this like epiphany, and he says, Chatasi, I have sinned, Bilaam says, Ki lo yadati ki ata nitzav likrati baderech, ve'ata imra beinecha shuvali. If you don't want me to do this, I'll go back. Should just said so. Vayomer Malach Adonai El Bilaam, the angel of Hashem says to Bilaam, Lech himam nashim, ve'efes esad adavar asher daber elecha ito tadaber, and do everything that I tell you to do. So question number five that we're going to ask now is, wait a second. If Hashem, in Gemara terms, we would say mimanafshach. Mimanafshach means like either way. Either way, if Hashem is against Bilaam going, then why did he let him go? Even afterwards, right after the angel stops him, the angel lets him go. So if he was going to let him go, why did he stop him in the first place? And if he's not against him going, So why did he put this angel and this donkey, this whole strange interaction, in the first place? Right? Pick your side, Hashem. If you're against it, stop it. If you're not against it, let it go. What's this like? You stop it, but then you let it go. So we have basically five questions that we asked that should confuse us more than help us. Okay? Question number one is when the messengers come the second time, and Balak says, sleep over again, did Bilam think Hashem was going to change his mind? Then we see that Hashem actually does change his mind. And the question is, why does Hashem change his mind? Question number three is, if Hashem was going to change his mind, why didn't he just let him go the first time? What changed between times one and times two? Question number four is, why does Hashem get mad at Bilam for simply doing what Hashem told him he could do, which is that he can go? Question number five is, after the angel stops Bilam, and then he lets him go. So if he didn't want him to go, why did he let him go? If he didn't want him to go in the first place, then why let him go? If he was okay with him going, why stop him? Question number six is kind of like the subtext to all of this. Is Bilam bad or good? So we know, because we've been indoctrinated from youth, that Bilam is bad. And yet, when you read these psukim, how do you read Bilam? Well, you don't necessarily think he's good. I would call him maybe naive, maybe like unsophisticated, like, you know, almost like the way we envision Paro or Ahasuerus, where they're easily manipulated. Think about the story of Ahasuerus, where one day a guy says, let's kill, okay, I'll do that. And the next day he changes his mind, the next day he changes his mind. You kind of don't get the feeling that Ahasuerus is that strong, powerful king of conviction, but this like wishy-washy personality who's willing to just do whatever the next guy tells him to do. So that's how I read Bilam. I read Bilam as kind of this like, yeah, I'll sell myself to the next guy. Okay? If that's the case, A, how did he achieve this level of like prophecy? Don't forget, he is the Chazal, compare him to Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu. We spoke about that in the Parsha class last year. You can listen to it on YU Torah. Okay? That comparison of Moshe and Bilam. But Bilam obviously did something right. And number two, if you read Chazal, specifically Rashi, in the Midrashim, Bilam is a horrible person. And how do you get to that? How do you get from our reading of the Torah to Chazal's reading of the Torah? Chazal obviously don't make it up. They tease out parts of the text that lead them to believe that Bilam isn't just that absent-minded professor, so to speak, but that he's a real evil person. What in the text leads you to believe that? So let's offer three different suggestions here today. Suggestion number one, I'd say, is the most basic text-based suggestion, and that is the Ramban. Again, all of the commentaries are struggling with our questions. What changed in between the first conversation and the second conversation? Says the Ramban, something fundamental changed. I'll tell it to you outside, and then I'll read a little bit of it inside. The Ramban says that the two conversations, Hashem never changes his mind. Hashem is constant throughout the story. What happens is that Bilam doesn't live up to Hashem's expectations of him. What does that mean? Bilam comes to Hashem the first time, and he says, am I allowed to go? And what does Hashem respond? Hashem responds, don't go. But why does Hashem say, don't go? Pasuk Yidbet, Pasuk 12. Vayomer Elohim el Bilam, lo teleichi mahem. You're not allowed to go with them. Lo ta'or es ha'am ki baruchu. You're not allowed to curse the people. Okay? The explicit instructions of Hashem the first time were, don't curse the people. Then Bilam comes back the second time and he says, am I allowed to go? And what does Hashem say to them? Im likro lecha ba'u anashim kumlech. If they've called upon you, you can go. In other words, you can go with them, but what aren't you allowed to do? You're still not allowed to curse them. Okay? And so says the Ramban the following. Again, the Ramban quoted a few different options up until this point, all of which he rejects. And then he says what I think the correct thing is. Kimitchila manu Hashem shelo yikalel asam ki baruchu. Originally Hashem says, you're not allowed to curse the people. Vilama yilechimahem acharei shelo yikalelam v'heim yachpitzu bo ledavar achir. Right? What's the point of going with them? If they want you to curse them, and you're not allowed to curse them, what's the point of going? Al kain amar, therefore Hashem says to him, lo teilechimahem shelo taor esam. Don't go with them, because you're not allowed to curse them. V'im likro l'cha bilvad ba'u. But the second time, Hashem says, if they just want you to go with them, they have no expectation, there are no pretenses for your traveling along with them. Kolomar sheit ratzu b'lech techai mahem al menas shelo yikalel etam kasher hodaticha mitchila kum leichitam. But if you explain to them, oh, I'm allowed to come with you, but I'm not allowed to curse them. And then they say, okay, we'd still rather you come with us. That Hashem says is okay. Why? Why would Hashem want Bilam to go with the messengers of Balak if he's not allowed to curse them? What agenda would Hashem have? Well, is Bilam good or bad? Bilam is a prophet. We know that. Okay? Prophets, we see in this story, are a double-edged sword. They can deliver good messages. They can deliver bad messages. So if Bilam is not sending a bad message, what role could he play? To be a good messenger. And that's exactly what the Ramban says. This is the agenda that Hashem had that they should go with him. After Bilam was supposed to explain to them that I'm not allowed to curse the Jewish people, what did Hashem want? What was his desire? Sheyivarech et Yisrael mipi navila goyim. Bilam was supposed to be the conduit, the funnel, through which Hashem was going to bless the Jewish people. So Hashem never changes his mind. In conversation A, Hashem says, if their agenda is that you should curse, don't go. Conversation number two, Hashem says, if their agenda is just that you're with them, then maybe you'll be a good influence on them. Maybe you'll inspire them to bless the Jewish people instead of cursing the Jewish people. Now, what happens on the Bilam side of things? V'haya al Bilam lahagid kain l'sarei Balak. Bilam was supposed to explain this to the messengers of Balak. He was supposed to tell them, I can come with you, but here are the ground rules. I can't curse, I can come, dot, dot, dot. When Hashem sees that Bilam does not explain that to the angels, to the messengers of Balak, that's when Hashem gets upset. Says the Ramban, V'hine Bilam meirov cheftzo lalechet, because Bilam wanted to go with them the whole time, right? Money, power, prestige, honor, that's what Balak was selling. So Bilam wanted to go along with that. So Bilam, the whole time, he had his mind made up the whole time. Lo diemze, he never tells them that I'm not allowed to curse them. You know why? Because that's called like a conversation ender. Okay? You know, it's like when they ask you in an interview, what's your greatest weakness? You're not really supposed to tell them what your greatest weakness is. Because if you're too honest, so that's like, wait a second. So it's like really delicate. So Bilam knows that. Bilam knows if he tells the messengers, you know, I can come with you, but just so you know, everything you want me to do, I'm not going to be able to do anyways. And in fact, Hashem is only sending me with ulterior motives. What do you think the messengers of Balak are going to say back to him? Forget it. And then Bilam loses out on his honor, riches, kavod, whatever. So he leaves that part to the end, right? It's like that big question. When do you tell your boss that you're Shomer Shabbos? Right? If you tell them at the beginning of the interview, you're out. So like you have to find that sweet spot for when you're allowed to tell them that whole like working 24/7 thing. We Orthodox Jews do it. And then there's something called winter, where like, especially in the New York City, you have to leave the office by like 2, right? You don't tell them that day one of the interview. Or maybe you do, who knows? But Bilam hedges. And he does not tell the messengers of Balak about his rules and regulations. Velo amar lahem klum. He leaves out everything that Hashem had told him. Vayakam baboker vayachavosh es asono. He wakes up the next morning, he's excited to do it, and it's at that moment that Hashem gets furious at him. Says the Ramban, striking language, Shahaya bazeh chilul Hashem. That what Bilam does is a chilul Hashem. Why? Ki belechto imahem stam. By just going with them. Vehu brishus Hashem. And they think he's doing it with the permission of Hashem. So A equals B, B equals C. If you're an observer to all this, what do you think? Right? They tell Bilam, we want you to come and curse the people. Bilam says, I need to check with God. Bilam then wakes up the next morning and says, God said I can go. So what assumption do you make if you're watching this? That God gave Bilam permission to curse the Jewish people. If you're watching that, you're saying to yourself, what's going on here? What a chilul Hashem. That Hashem is giving explicit permission to a non-Jewish prophet to curse his quote-unquote chosen people. And therefore, says the Ramban, that's when Hashem gets angry. So the Ramban is bothered by all of our questions. What changed in between time one and time two? Why did Hashem give, right? So the Ramban says very simple. Hashem never changes his mind. The first conversation, Hashem says, don't go, because I don't want you cursing them. Second conversation, the cursing never comes up. Hashem says, if you want to go with them, you know what, maybe it's not such a bad idea. I'll have someone on the inside, right? I'll have someone on the inside who can maybe, from the back end, convince them or to bless the Jewish people. But when Bilam leaves out, oh yeah, that's small. I can't work on Saturday. There's something called September in the Jewish calendar, right? Which means I'm missing every single day. This year is the worst, by the way. Well, it's the worst for rabbis. It's the worst for people who have jobs. And it's the best for kids in school. Okay, why? Because all the Yom Tovim are Monday night. Sunday night or Monday night? Sunday night. Sunday night is the worst. Monday night's probably even worse for workers. But Sunday night's the worst. Why? Because it means I have to speak on Shabbos, and then Saturday night, go write another drasha for Sunday night. Okay? No. Or it means that you're out Monday, Tuesday of every single week for a month. Now, for a student, that's the best. Because it means you could basically write off the month of October. Well, no, it's October. Rosh Hashanah is like October 1st. So you have September, you can push through, you have off all October, then November, you're already looking forward to Thanksgiving, and then it's already January. And then it's Pesach, you're done, right? Pesach, you're done. Okay, that's the Ramban's approach. That's the Ramban's approach. The Ramban is very similar to a comment in Rashi, where Rashi says, Vayakam Bilam Baboker Vayachavosh Es Atono Vayelech Im Sarei Moab, says Rashi, Libo Kilibam Shava. That his heart was like their heart. In other words, they were on the exact same page. What's Rashi telling us? That Bilam the entire time wanted to do this. Even though he was faking this conversation with Hashem, he was fake asking for permission, his mind was already made up. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to curse the Jewish people. He just needed Hashem's permission to do it. And the second Hashem gives him the opening, Bilam basically ignores that entire conversation. And he goes and does what he wants anyways. So the Ramban and Rashi are kind of saying the same thing, which is Hashem doesn't change his mind. But once he sees Bilam's true colors, that's when he gets really angry. Okay? That is all the Ramban. The next interpretation I want to share with you is that of the Haktav Ve'akabalah. Now, some of you might be familiar with this, others not. And if you want to become more familiar with this wonderful work, you should listen. When we did our People of the Book seminar, probably now 3 years ago, so one of the people that I spoke about was Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, the writer of the Haktav Ve'akabalah. Now, you notice this is a very old version. People oftentimes drop off books for shameless. And I oftentimes will rummage through the books that people drop off because there's oftentimes good stuff there. So someone dropped this off and I said to myself, why should a perfectly good safer go to waste? I didn't have one, so now I have it and it's coming to use. this morning. Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg lives from 1785 to 1865, which is right at the heart of the battle over the Reform movement, right at the heart of what we'll call the Reformists, those who tried to adulterate our tradition. Okay? I think I'm not using the Reform, I'm using Reformists. Right? Those who were trying to manipulate our tradition. His entire book, if you had to characterize his entire book into like 2 minutes, his entire book is to combat those who are trying to manipulate our text for different purposes. And that's why the title, HaKitav, Kitav means the written, Kabbalah means, not Kabbalah the way we interpret it, Kabbalah means like, not the way that it's accepted, but the tradition of it. Okay? So HaKitav is the written, HaKabbalah is the tradition. In other words, we know there are two components to our Torah. There's the written Torah and the oral Torah. Oftentimes, you'll read something in the oral Torah, you'll read a Midrash, you'll read a Gemara, and you'll say to yourself, where in the world did the rabbis get that from? Right? Let's be honest, we all do that. Okay? We see a Midrash and we're like, yeah, that's not really what the text is telling us. Okay? Now, that feeling that you have of, is that really what the text telling me? Is a very dangerous mindset, he says. Because the second you question the veracity of the oral Torah, you have undermined traditional Judaism. Traditional Judaism isn't defined by what's written in the Torah. It's defined what's been written in the Torah and extrapolated upon for 2,000 years of Jewish literature. Okay? If you are trying to stick a wedge in between traditional Judaism and our texts, how would you do it? Well, you would basically come with this argument. You would say, the rabbis don't really know what they're talking about. I mean, I'm dramatizing it. It's not really authentic to the text of the Torah. Right? That's what you would say. You would say the rabbis have stretched the meaning of the Torah too far. And once the rabbis, what we would say basically like willy-nilly interpret the text, well, what makes my interpretation any different than their interpretation? So if you're going to defend traditional Judaism, what you want to show is that when the rabbis seemingly picked a rabbit out of a hat when they interpreted the text of the Torah, no, the rabbis maintained a fidelity to the text. And therefore, you can't just make up your own interpretation. You have to understand better how the rabbis extrapolated the text. That, in a nutshell, is what Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg does in his text. His work is basically taking the oral law, the Torah Shebaal Peh, and reconciling it with what's written in the Torah itself. That's it. I just summarized an hour and a half class for you in 2 minutes. So if you're Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg, and you're reading this story of Bilam, you're bothered by the exact same questions that you and I are bothered by, which is, I don't understand. You have Bilam on the one hand, which seems like a pretty good guy. Right, we all said that. Maybe he's a little bit naive. Maybe he doesn't have a backbone. But he's not an evil, wicked person. And yet, on the other hand, you have Chazal, Midrashim, Gemaras, telling us that Bilam is evil, wicked, like on par with Haman and Amalek. How do you reconcile the two of them? What in the text bridges the gap between what the text of the Torah is telling us and the Midrashim? And so therefore, Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg says the following. And again, I'll tell it to you outside, and then read a little bit of inside for you. Look at Pasuk Yudbet 12 and Pasuk 20, which are the two psukim of where Hashem gives permission to Bilam to go. Pasuk 12. Vayomer Elohim el Bilam. Hashem says to Bilam, Lo teleich imahem. You're not allowed to go with them. Lo Torah Sa'am, you're not allowed to curse them. Ki baruchu. Okay? Hold that pasuk. Now go to pasuk 20. Vayavo Elohim el Bilam. Laila, Hashem comes to Bilam at night. Vayomer lo. He says, Im likro lecha bao anashim. If they called upon you, kum leich itam. Go with them. Says Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg, wait a second. Imahem and itam. Same word or different words? Well, if you're an ignoramus like me, so you would say, sounds pretty similar, right? If I was asking you for a debt, if I didn't just set you up for this, and I said, imahem and itam, same word, how would you both translate them? You would both say what definition? With them. Right? We would translate in English the same way. Says Mecklenburg, not a chance on the planet. These two words mean something very different. Imahem, with them, means like really with them. Like your kishkas are with them. It means everything that they want to do, you are equal with them. You are fully bought in, fully immersed with their mission. Itam, he says, means something different. It means you can go with them, but like separate but not equal, almost what we would say, right? Separate but equal, right? In other words, you can go with them, you can be with them, but don't really be with them. There has to be a difference, a little bit of a difference between you and them. So he says here, Hine bapam arishon lo harsha lo halicha. Hashem doesn't forbid going with them. Ubepam sheni natan lo rishus lalechet. And the second time, Hashem gives him permission to go. So what does that mean? Venerally, she'ein kan shinoi bedas elyon yisparach. Hashem never changes his mind. Ki yesh hefresh gadol bein lashon halicha hamechubar b'milat imahem. There's a big difference between going with them with the word imahem ubein hamechubar b'milat atem. Item. In a difference between the word item.
Itam.
So what is the difference? He says, Lachin ba'amro yitbarach elav lashon lo teleich imahem. When Hashem says don't go imahem, he's not saying you can't go with them at all. Hine yore miniat halichat hapoelet shelo yishtatef imahem leleich kidei limal ot kavanat mishalotam v'lasham shem bekilatam. He means you can't go with them like every part of it. They wanted to come curse the Jewish people. Hashem says you can't participate in that aspect with them. You're not allowed to. You might be able to walk with them, but you're not allowed to be imahem. Right? I can be in a room with people. I can be on a journey with people. I can be with them, but not really with them. We Jews understand what that means. We are with society around us, and yet we are not with society around us. You can be in a society with people, but also maintain independence and individuality. You can be in a room with people and still be lonely in that room. Right? You're not alone, but you're lonely. Okay? That's what Hashem is saying here. Lo teleich imahem. Hashem never explicitly prohibits Bilam from going. But what he prohibits him from doing is being imahem. Right? Part of their mission. Hashem never tells him he can't go altogether. Hashem just says you can't participate in the cursing of the people. Amnam, however, bipam shenit, amar lo lashon leich itam. Hashem says go, but itam. And that does not mean ve'ein b'mashmo lashon ze ki'im halicha be'alma she'ein batoelet kmo letiul ulechavod. What's tiul? Tiul means like I'm strolling along with you. That's what Hashem had allowed. V'lachein mana mimenu beperush kol minei ishtalut. That's what he develops, this idea. Okay? Hashem never changes his mind. What changes? His instructions. At the beginning when he says, lo teleich imahem, he's saying, you can't go with it, you can't participate fully in the journey with them. But what are you allowed to do? Itam. You're allowed to go. Itam. When does Hashem get upset? Pasuk Chafal. Now this is going to jump out at you. Smack you in the face. Okay? So again, Pasuk Chaf was where Hashem says, you can go. Itam. In Pasuk Chafal. Vayakam Bilam. Baboker. Vayachavosh et atono. He wakes up. He saddles his donkey. Vayelech. Im Sarei Moab. He goes with. Im sounds very similar to imahem. Hashem said you're not allowed to be imahem, but you are allowed to be itam. Bilam wakes up and he is im. He's with them. He explicitly ignores Hashem's instructions. And when Hashem sees that Bilam has that ulterior motive, that his agenda, that his decision was made from the start, that is when Vayichar Af Elokim. That's when Hashem gets angry. Had Bilam stuck with the plan, Hashem would never have gotten angry. Bilam was allowed to go with the messengers. What was he not allowed to do? He was not allowed to be Imahem. In the second that Hashem sees that Bilam is Im Sarei Bilam, Sarei Moab, that's when Hashem gets upset. He points out here, I would not have appreciated this because I do not speak Aramaic, nor do I regularly learn Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, but if you are Rav Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg, you do. He says, this is explicit in the words of the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. You don't have it in your Siddur, but your Chumash, but I do. I'll just read for you three words. And again, it's going to jump out and smack you. Pasuk Yudbet. This is when Hashem says, you're not allowed to go. Lo tezil imhon. Tezil, which is the Aramaic of tezil. It means like, don't go. Okay? Now, when Hashem says, you are allowed to go, Hashem says, cool, kum, get up. Tayel. Tezil and tayel are two different things. Tezil is his definition of imahem. Tayel, tiul, litayel, means like a stroll. It's a casual stroll. It means you and I are walking together, but we're not really together. Then, when Bilam gets up, the Targum says, va'azal im ravervei moav. Azal, that same word as tezil. He does exactly, that's what the Haktav HaKabbalah uses as his proof, to show that these two words, imahem and itam, are not the same. And the proof that they're not the same is that the Targum, Yonasan ben Uziel, uses different Aramaic terms to define each of them. Tezel, im, tiul, are different words. It represents a different form of commitment to that stroller. Okay? So, once again, Hashem isn't the one who changes his mind. Rav Mecklenburg is struggling with the same exact foundation that you and I are struggling with. Did Hashem change his mind? Why did he reject the first time, allow the second time? How does Bilam go from being this naive person to all of a sudden, Vayichar, that Hashem gets very angry at him? Says Rav Mecklenburg, it's explicit in the text. Chazal didn't make it up. They simply read this in the text and then extrapolated from it. That's their job. But he says it's explicit in the text. Hashem says, Lo telech imahem. Then Hashem says, you can go itam. Bilam goes im. That shows that Bilam's mind was made up the whole time. Bilam was, as Rashi already had pointed out, and again, all of this ties together, as Rashi already pointed out, libo kilibam shaveh. Bilam's heart was the same as the Sarei Moab. He wanted exactly what they wanted, which was to curse the Jewish people. Let me share with you one last interpretation. Okay? And that is from Rav Yitzchak Arma, the Akedas Yitzchak. Says the Akedas Yitzchak, there's something even like more fundamental to this entire conversation, which you and I kind of glossed over, and sometimes someone points it out to you, and you say, oh, of course, duh. Okay? He says, wait a second. Why are we like davening over is Bilam good, is Bilam bad, what makes him good, finding proofs in text? Let me ask you a question. Let's play a dramatic scenario. Okay? That's appropriate for sure. Okay, let's say someone comes to shul. They approach me and they say, you know what, Rabbi Moskowitz, I'd like permission to get up on Shabbos morning in the Bima. And, you know, I want to spend a couple minutes telling the entire community how terrible you are, what a bum you are, how you're ignorant, And then I want to, once I'm done with that, I want to go each person in the audience and tell each one of them how bad they are. I want to then go through their history of their search engine and just read off some of the sites that they've been visiting. And then I want, right? And then I want to say what I found in each one's home. Like, let me just spend a couple minutes going through the entire shul, sharing all the dirty laundry on every single person in the shul. Pause the conversation. What are you thinking about that person at that moment in time? He's a terrible person. Terrible person, right? Horrible person. Are you going to let that person get up and have your bima? No. Now, what if his friend comes over and says, Phil, you know, he's really a good guy. I know he wants to get up and, like, tell everyone what they say about the other person, but, like, he's really a good guy. I promise you. He's not as bad as you think he is. Are you believing that friend or not believing that friend? No. Now, why? You don't know this guy from a hole in a wall. Why don't you believe the friend? What causes you to realize that this person is a despicable human being? Did he do anything wrong? Well, let me ask a question. Did he do anything wrong? No. What did he do wrong? He made an absurd ask. His question was absurd. Says the Akedas Yitzchak, why are we davening over, is Bilam good or bad? Bilam made a request of Hashem. The messengers of Balak come. They say, we want to hire you to curse and destroy the Jewish people. Bilam says, you know, that's not... Let me get back... That's a good suggestion. Let me get back to you on that. Let me sleep. Let me talk to God, and I'll tell you what God says. Hashem is sitting there thinking to himself, are you a fool? I took these people out of Egypt. They are my people. I gave them my Torah. I protected them in the desert. I'm taking them into the promised land. These are my guys. This is my community. This is my rabbi, right? You're even asking me if you can go with their enemies and curse them? What an absurd, stupid question. Pardon my French. But that's exactly what Bilam is saying. Now, when I tell you, like when we read it that way, aren't you left, duh, why didn't I realize that? Of course, Bilam's a wicked person. Says the Akedas Yitzchak, Ki achar sheyeda kama chavivim Yisrael etz alamakam. After Bilam knew just how much Hashem loves the Jewish people. Ve'asher nisa elokim lavo lakachat lo goy mikerev goy b'masot ve'otot motim, according to Pasuk from Devarim, Hashem performed all these miracles for us, and that all the nations heard about what Hashem did for us. Hine haya mechuyav lo. What should Bilam have done? Shekasher ba'u l'nasoto b'shlichut zeh. When the messengers of Balak had approached Bilam with this prospect of cursing the Jewish people, shelo yishal alav v'lo yinase et Hashem. He shouldn't have even asked Hashem. Aval hu me'atzmo yashivotam davar. He should have immediately responded. And what should he have said? This is the Akedas Yitzchak. Chalilali, God forbid, evle v'imashchit eder Hashem tzon mariso. God forbid that I would curse the chosen people, so to speak, of Hashem. Ulariv ulit kotet bahem bechol yilato. He should have fought back. He should have argued with them. They came and said, "We're going to, you know, here's a. I'm not going to tell you what's in the suitcase." But I am telling you, it could buy you an island in the Bahamas, right? But there's a suitcase there. You can take it. And by the way, in return for the suitcase, that I'm not telling you that there are $10 million in it, but we'd love for you to help curse the Jewish people. Right. Bilam shouldn't have said, let's leave the suitcase there overnight while I go and confer with God. No, he should have argued with them. He should have said, these are Hashem's chosen people. Chalilali, right? Lariv, ulit kotet. Lariv means to fight with them. Lit kotet means he should have argued. He should have fought back. And therefore, says the Akedas Yitzchak, Kini be'emes ze lo avon plili v'chet mishpat mavet asher lo nitan limcha. This is an unforgivable offense. They want to curse Hashem's people, and Bilam didn't fight back on that immediately. That, says the Akedas Yitzchak, is an unforgivable offense. Okay? And then you ask the question, wait a second. If it's such an unforgivable offense, why did Hashem do this little dance with Bilam? Right? The first time Bilam comes to him, what should have Hashem said? No. Bam, I'm cursing you then. Hashem doesn't say that. Hashem says, you know, maybe not a good idea. It's only the second time that Vayichar Af Hashem, it's only the second time that Hashem gets so angry. Why didn't he reprimand him the first time? Says the Akedat Yitzchak, Hineim kolzeh bepam rishona, Hashem hatov, the good God, right? God who is good, merciful, compassionate, patient. Heshiv lo b'midat tuvo v'chasiduto. Hashem was very forgiving the first time. V'omer lo teilechimahem. He just says, you know what? These aren't good people to hang out with. Hinei ba'omro lo teilechimahem. When Hashem said, don't go with them, perish. In other words, Bilam should have understood. Parentheses. Lo shehu derech ra. This is a bad journey. You're going down a bad path. Ein lalechet bo bishum panim. Don't do it. Bilam misses that. And he comes back to Hashem a second time. And Hashem, the second time, says, you know what? I was patient with you the first time. And then Hashem flies off the wheel. V'ne'ne lo ba'ofen sheyelech lasham v'tir'eh cherpato. Hashem says, you know what? Go. You have the chutzpah to ask me a second time? Go. And you know what I'm going to do to you on your little journey? V'tir'eh cherpato. They're going to see your cherpa, your... What's cherpa? Humiliation. Embarrassment. Boshto v'chlimato. All words for embarrassment. Everyone thinks that Bilam is such a greisa knacker. Everyone thinks that he's such a big tzaddik, that he's such a powerful man. Wait till you see what's going to happen. The donkey is going to be talking and Bilam is going to be rendered silent. The greatest humiliation. So does Hashem change his mind? Says the Akedat Yitzchak. No, but what Hashem does do is Hashem is enormously patient. Right? We human beings sometimes do very stupid things. And in many ways, we're not so far off from Bilam a lot of times. Okay? I'm being serious. We know what's right. We know what we're supposed to do. And yet, 98, 95, 90, a lot of the time we don't do what's right. Despite the fact that we know what's right to do. We're lazy, we're humans, we have a Yetzer Hara, whatever the reason might be. Hashem is enormously patient. The first time Bilam asks the most chutzpahdik question, can I go and destroy your people? You and I would have said, no. Hashem says, you know what? Probably not a good idea. And had Bilam learned that lesson, it would have been fine. It's when Bilam comes back the second time and re-asks the question that Hashem says, enjoy. Let me know how that goes. And then Hashem humiliates Bilam because Bilam by then had shown his true colors. Bilam had shown what his intention, what his goals were the entire time. Rav Yitzchak Arma, the Akedas Yitzchak, then quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Ba li tamei, that a person who wants to defile himself, poschin lo. Hashem opens the door for that. Ba li taher, if a person wants to purify themselves, misayin oso. Hashem helps you. What's the point of that? What does that Gemara mean? It means that whatever path you and I strive for, whatever path in the deep recesses of our heart we genuinely want, Hashem enables that path. The person who wants to go down a wicked path, Hashem's not going to stop you. Right? That's part of free will. Hashem opens the door. He says, if you want to do that, do it. Enjoy. But if you want to, litaher, if you strive and yearn and put an effort to right the path, to make yourself better, to purify yourself, then misayim oso. Hashem helps us. Hashem gives us the siyata dishmaya to go along that path. The Medrash says, on this pasuk, im lekro lecha bo anashim kum lechitam, our pasuk, where Hashem says, if they want you to go with them, you're allowed to go with them, says the Midrash, Mikan atalemeid, from here you learn, Shebederech she'adam rotze leilech, that whatever path a person wants to go on, ba molichin oso. Hashem helps you get to that path. If you go down a path of self-destruction, Hashem is going to allow you to go down that path. If you genuinely, with every fiber of your being, want to go down a different path, strive and put an effort to get down that path, Samolichin oso, Hashem is going to help you get down that path as well. Shemitchila, says the Midrash, Ne'mar lo lo teleich. Originally Hashem says, don't go. Kevan she'az panav lahaloch halach. But once he goes, Vayichar af Elokim ki olechu, Hashem gets angry. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Midrash. Hashem says, Russia, you wicked person, Eini chafetz bibudam shel rishayim. I don't want to destroy wicked people. Hoil vez at rotze leilech leabed mina olam kumlech. But once that's the path you decide for yourself, kumlech, I'm going to allow you to go down that path. It's what we would call in English a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right? Hashem allows us to fulfill our deep-seated dreams and desires. If we want to take ourselves down a self-destructive path, Hashem says, go. I'm going to open the door. I'm not going to stop you. That's part of free will. But, habat litaher, if a person genuinely tries and put an effort to right that ship, to put yourself on that better path, then misayim oso. Then Hashem says, I'm going to help you along in that path. That, the Midrash says, is the message of this entire story. The message of this entire story is a message of free will. According to the Akedas Yitzchak, is Bilam a good guy or a bad guy? He was bad the whole time, but Hashem opened the door. Hashem allowed him the opportunity to do better, to correct that ship. And so Hashem, the first time Bilam comes, Hashem doesn't punish him right up. Hashem says, you know what? It's not such a good idea. It's only when Bilam proves his true colors, that he really, in the deep recesses of his heart, wanted to go and to curse the Jewish people, that's when Hashem becomes furious. And so to summarize, what we started with was a lot of questions where we didn't fully understand the difference between why Hashem doesn't allow it the first time, allows it the second time, which brought forth a more fundamental question of, is Bilam good, bad? Right? How do you reconcile that in the text? And we saw, essentially, three different interpretations. We saw the Ramban, that Hashem doesn't change his mind, but Bilam didn't really live up to his end of the deal. Hashem had said, you're allowed to go, but you have to tell them you're not allowed to curse them. And when Bilam does not do that, Hashem says, ooh, now I see where this is headed. And that's when Hashem gets angry. We saw the beautiful insight of the Ksavya Kabbalah, that there's a difference between the word imahem and itam. Hashem says, you're not allowed to go imahem, but you are allowed to go itam. And it's when Bilam says, im sarei Moav, that Hashem says, whoa, now I see that your agenda is in line with their agenda. You want to curse my people the entire time. That's when Vayichar af Hashem. And then we saw at the end that beautiful insight of the Akedas Yitzchak. Hashem is so bothered by the chutzpahdik nature of Bilam's question. You want to destroy my people? And you and I would have reacted immediately by yelling and screaming. And yet Hashem is very patient. Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem gives us an opportunity to make mistakes and then to do better. Hashem says to Bilam, probably not such a good idea. It's only when Bilam comes back the second time where, as the Gemara in Shabbos told us, Bali Tameh, Bilam showed that he really wanted to do the wrong thing, then poschin lo, Hashem says, okay, that's what you want to do, go for it. But it's going to end in a bad sense. And if Hashem gives us the free will to do what's wrong, then it means he also gives us the free will to do what's right. And that's the flip side of that Gemara of Bali Taher, Misayim Oso. Hashem's going to help us get there. That if we genuinely, again, genuinely commit ourselves to the right path, so the Gemara tells us that Hashem helps us get to that path. Hashem provides us with the Siyata Deshmaya to get to that path. And hopefully with this, we'll have a new appreciation into the Parsha this week. Everyone have a good Shabbos.